In chapter 3, on page 293, 294 on the bottom numbers, we are continuing Shar Yichud Ve'amuna, and we are postulating the idea of the relationship that Hashem has with us, and that what is put forth is that Hashem has to be actively involved in the creation in order to keep it going. And were Hashem to stop creating it for even an instant, it would cease to exist. And so therefore, what he wanted to maintain is in its existence as it is now, we really don't exist. And this is how we're going to go until chapter 6, is that we don't exist. The only thing that exists is Hashem. So now, after we get through talking about all this stuff that we just talked about, especially in chapter 2, where he negated Aristotelian philosophy that says that God had to remove himself from the creation. Kol maskil al davar. Anybody's going to think about this? We're talking about seriously thinking about this. Yavin la'ashura will understand clearly. Eich shekol nivra v'yesh hu be'emes nachshav la'ayin ve'efes mamish le'gavi koyach ha'poyel v'ruach piv shebenifl ha'mahava oise tamid u'maitzi ma'ayin mamish le'yesh. That's all one sentence. He's going to understand how each creature, an entity, is in truth considered like totally and completely, absolutely nothing compared to the power of the effector, meaning the breath of Hashem's mouth in us affected entities, which is bringing them into existence constantly and causing them to exist from nothing, mamish, to something. Okay, so it means to say that as we exist, we still exist as a nothing.
Right.
Because how could it be? I mean, looking at the paradigm that physics now puts forth, that the smallest unit of matter is really just energy.
Right.
We've broken it down to what are quarks made out of.
Right.
So it would be fair to say that this is a manifestation of energy, which energy is Hashem, for lack of a better word, and therefore there is nothing that exists besides these manifestations of Hashem. So that shouldn't be too hard to think about, right? It's like it says, you know, I can understand how I don't exist, now explain to me how I do.
Exactly.
Okay.
Let's do the hard
part. So he says, Umasha kol nivra v'nifal nir alana liyesh umamashis. So why do things look like they look?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, it should be, I really want to be able to do this one day, you know, I had it explained to me way back when in high school,
yeah,
that there is so much space within every atom,
right,
that if that be the case, then I should be able to just pass my hand right through the table.
Correct.
Okay, one day I'm going to do that, just like that episode of Superman where he walked through that 6-foot wall. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So why does it appear to be a something, and why does it hurt when I bang my hand on the table? Zeu machm she'ein anu masigim v'roim be'enei basar es k'ach havaya v'ruach piv shivanivra. This is because we don't see the godliness. There are two stories that come to mind immediately.
Okay.
just simply speaking, if you stick your nose on the table, okay, are you going to see a table? No, you're going to see a piece of wood,
right,
or something like that. You're going to see the grains of it. You're going to lose the sight of the table. You know, the tree before the forest.
Right.
Okay, if you're looking at the tree, you don't see the forest.
Right.
So if you're looking and you're seeing energy,
right,
if Hashem was suddenly to reveal himself to us, you would not see the thing. You would see the energy. That's all you would see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there are two stories. One involves the Mr. Chamagi, which I probably told the story, that on his deathbed he said, I'm going to die within the hour. Okay, you remember this story. And they said, why? Because he doesn't see the ceiling anymore. He sees the godliness which is enlivening it, and a person can't live in this world, which is divine, and why not? Why can't he live around looking at the ceiling and seeing the letters of Hashem's name which are enlivening it? Is because the three dimensions disappear. And what happens when three dimensions disappear? What happens to you? Yeah, you're gone.
Yeah.
Okay, and he died.
Yeah, three-dimensional being doesn't work there.
Yes, exactly. So the other story involves, there was the Friedrich Rebbe. They don't have photographs of it, but the way it was described to me is where the Rebbe Rishab, when the Rebbe Rishab would forbring. So you'd have this long table, like by the Rebbe, like the Rebbe had, same okay. thing with a long white tablecloth. And people were standing all around, you know. But the difference is that directly opposite the Friedrich Rebbe, directly opposite the Rebbe Rishab, was the Friedrich Rebbe sitting.
Really?
So it'd be like the Friedrich Rebbe and sitting at the table, you know, talking one like back and forth, okay?
Right.
And so it was really very interesting is when the Rebbe Rishab would say a mimer, he would have his eyes closed, and the Friedrich Rebbe would have his eyes closed, and they would rock in unison.
Of course they would.
So the this is for Brengen. And Rebbe Rishab asked the Friedrich Rebbe, should he reveal the Dvar Havaya in the plate to the people that were standing there? Show them how Hashem creates the plate. And he told them, the Friedrich Rebbe said, no, because it'll just be chitzenius. People will say, oh, he did a maifus, he did a wonder. And Lubavitchers are not into
wonders. Right.
And I have a story about that. So he said the Friedrich Rebbe later regretted it because he said so many people could have been brought closer to Yiddishkeit had he actually done it. Which now the skeptics would say, well, could he really have done it? You know, so, but...
Right. Skeptics would
be... The answer can't be seen. So what is it? Lubavitcher's never really hopped on Rebbe's doing wonders. It was sort of like always like, okay, that's like a Polish thing. You know, wonders. And in fact, there's a story, I don't know how long it's been since I've told this story. I only know so many stories, so if I were to go back and listen to every one of the tapes before I sat down, I'd say, oh yeah, I told that story in chapter 22.
Yeah.
He remembers it, of course. There were some chassidim of different varieties traveling on a train from point A to point B, and they were talking about the wonders that their rebbes did. Each one had their own respective rebbe, and they were all talking about the wonders of this, the miracles that they were did, the maifsin.
Right.
So there was a Lubavitcher, a very wealthy businessman by the name of Shmuel Gerari. And I asked him, Shmuel, no? Zogas von der Lubavitcher. That's the way they hang here. That they don't say, you know, your Rebbe, whatever. They just say the Lubavitcher, or the Satmar, the Belzer, refers to the Rebbe. So he said, well, he once had an opportunity to invest very heavy in a business deal. He went and asked the Rebbe. And the Rebbe told him, invest very heavily. And he asked him, so he invested very heavily. He said, yeah. He said, I lost my pants. So he said, if that's, so where's the wonder? So he says, the wonder is I'm still a chassid, I'm still a disciple of his. Okay, because he says, "Avi'ilu nitna reshus lana liray silahasig es hachayis," because if it would be that we were given permission to see and to comprehend the vitality, the ruchni, shebechol nivra, the spirituality.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an obvious, he doesn't put it in this terminology. Physicists have these equations about how we exist.
Right.
They put them on big, long boards.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And the math just wasn't working.
Right.
So what did they do? They came up with a conclusion, oh, this isn't going to work in three dimensions. We got to put some more dimensions in.
Sure, it works that way.
So now the physics, their equations work if there's 10 dimensions.
Right.
So how do you have 10 dimensions? The 10 dimensions are folded up into the 3 dimensions. It's like an accordion, okay?
Right. Yes.
And then the math works fine. Okay? This is what people work on all, you know. So
right.
So what does that say? Is if you could see the 10 dimensions, you would lose track of the 3 dimensions. You can't see more than what we see.
Right.
Because if you do, then you lose what you have. This, by the way, is the chiddush of Mashiach's coming. Because what's going to be when Mashiach comes is you'll see the godliness, you'll see the spirituality,
and maintain
3 dimensions.
Right.
Okay, so things will be whatever. You'll look at the table, you'll say, that's a table, and I see this Tzeruf Yoistis Havaya, the letters Shin, Lamed, Ches, Nun that are creating the table. I'll see the Atzmus and Mahus, even when we won't see letters. Maybe we'll see God in everything. Can I draw a picture of it? Well, hopefully soon. But right now, not.
Good luck with that.
When Mashiach comes, I'll draw you a picture.
Okay, good, dude.
Okay, real people. Lo hayagashmias hanivra chumri umamashis nira klalei neinu. And the physical course, absoluteness of the world that we accept, you would not see it at all. He says, not that it wouldn't be there, but says it would be not near a klal le'einenu. You wouldn't see it. The gashmius would still be there. Like if right now in this room, we turned on 50,000 watts of electricity, what would you see? Nothing.
Yeah, I'd be blinded.
Would the table be here, though?
Sure, of course.
Yeah, the table would be here. But you wouldn't see it as a table. You'd just be blinded by the light.
Correct.
Because all you see is the light. Okay? So would it be that Hashem were to crank up the revelation, and we were privileged to just a little bit more revelation than we are now,
yeah,
we wouldn't see three dimensions at all. Yeah. Would they still be there? They'd still
sure
be there, yeah.
Ki
hu batel mamitzias mamish. And why is that? Is because when we say we do exist, what are we existing as? We're existing as nullified in our existence. And he's going to bring this back up again, I think chapter 8, chapter 9, I'm not sure. Where he talks about this idea again, but from our perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it goes back to the paradigm of the flying rock.
Yes.
Right. Okay, so when you look and you see the rock flying, is the rock flying, or is the rock still sitting, but now it's sitting on something which is pushing it, meaning a force? And the answer is yes.
Yes.
Because we're talking about from whose perspective?
Right, correct.
Okay, from our perspective of looking at what we see, it looks like it's flying.
Yeah.
In our reality, that rock is indeed flying.
Well, according to the rock, it's flying. According to us, it's sitting on the energy, yes?
No, you don't see the energy.
No, we don't see it.
No.
That's true.
No, you got it backwards.
Oh,
so according to us, I see a rock flying through the air.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Okay.
What's the rock?
The rock sees itself as just sitting. It's not doing anything. It's just sitting there.
Okay.
But now it's sitting on the force.
All right, okay. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
From
Hashem's perspective, the nothing, which is what the world is still nothing.
Right.
From our perspective, this nothing looks like a whole lot of something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Didn't realize how much something you could stuff inside nothing.
That's correct. Well, there's a famous line. The famous one of my favorite equivocations is, "What can hold infinity?
Yeah.
Nothing."
Yeah, exactly.
And it does, yes, a very good job of it.
Yes, as well. Yes, the whole of it.
Yep. As in, how much nothing do you have in your pocket?
Exactly.
I have an infinite amount of nothing in my pocket.
Yes.
Gehu batel mamish, just like Gavi Hachayas Haruchniyas Shabai. As far as in concerning the spirituality that's in it, because if it were not for this spirituality, the thing would not exist at all. Were it not for the force keeping up that rock, the rock wouldn't be up.
Right.
Were it not for the fact that Hashem is making the ayin a something,
right,
the ayin would not be a something. Like it was before, even the world was created.
Sure.
And this godliness, which is enclosed in it, coming through these channels, is what brings this nothing into being something from absolute nothing, and it brings it into existence. In Cain, Ephes Balade Be'emes. If that be the case, then we don't exist right now. And he's going to bring in an example. The example he gives, there's actually two examples for this. Both of them are bad. Because we're talking about a something from nothing,
yeah,
and we don't have any nothing.
Okay,
I was talking with a mathematics professor today, and he said there's no such thing as absolute infinity. It's all relative. And I said, well, if you're a theologian. He said, okay, you're a theologian, okay. So just as there's no such thing as absolute infinity as far as those things are concerned, there can't be absolutely there can be no absolute nothing either.
Right.
Okay. So we can't give a really good example. He's going to give an example with the relationship of the sun ray and the sun. There is another example which comes up in Hasidus often of that, and I believe he uses it later on, of the word before you speak it. What happens to you when you say a word? There's a whole process that goes on. We talked about this in, I think we talked about this in chapter 20, 21, and it's come up before. You have to, first of all, you have to have a desire to speak. And then you have to have the intellect to know what it is that you want to say. then you have to garb it into emotion so that you get an expression of the right feeling as to the way it's supposed to come out, because we know that the expression get out of here and get out of here are two different things.
Correct.
So you have to put the emotion in just the right way. Then you have to couch it in the right verbiage. That's the letters of thought. Mm. And then you have to say it. Mm. Okay, so right before the instance, right before you're going to say that word, is there a word? To you, there is.
Right.
To you, there's the word is right there. Does the word exist? No.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. It doesn't exist until you utter it.
Right, correct.
Okay, so with Hashem, we could say that the world exists like an utterance, not as we said, the 10 utterances that created the world. And we use the expression utterance because Hashem wanted to create a Zula, something outside of himself. But we know, we just talked about before, that there's nothing outside of Hashem. Hmm. So the paradigm is that of like, we are, our existence is not so much speech, but thought. And that's how, so I don't want to give away too much over here with this example. He says, do you have the example of the sun? Okay? We feel the sun's presence. We do not feel the sun.
No.
Okay? You would get really toasty. What do we feel? We feel something called a sun ray. It is just merely an effulgence of it.
Yes.
Hashem put it such that we are exactly the right distance, 93 million miles away from the sun, so that if we were a little bit closer, we would burn up, and a little bit further away, we would freeze. Okay, so we're just right, just to get cooked just perfectly. Mm-hmm. Okay? The sun ray, you can't, no one's going to argue that there's no such thing as a sun ray.
Right.
It's so obvious.
It's a given.
Yeah. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that there's sun rays, because the Torah doesn't state totally obvious things.
Right.
Okay? Hinei zeh poshut. So he says it's obvious. She'or v'ziva zeh yesh negam kein beguf chaymer kader ha-shemesh. If the sun ray can be felt 93 million miles away from its source, what's doing with that sun ray at its source? Must be really intense. If we have all this energy that traveled 93 million miles in 8 minutes, and we can feel its intensity to the point that you could get burned from it,
right?
What is it like 93 million miles from here at its source? Must be really intense. But, as he says, she'im mispashet umar l'racha kelkach, if the sun ray would come down here and exist so far away, kol sheken sheyachal l'harivim kaimim mamish, for sure it should be able to exist in its own place. Rak shem sham kaimim mamish nechshev haziva zeh la'ayin ve'efes mamish. The only difference is that the sun ray, at the sun, before the sun ray has been emitted, it doesn't exist. The only thing that exists is the
sun.
The sun.
Right.
Okay? Correct. NASA recently proved this.
Interesting.
Yeah. Recently. It's not so recent anymore. It's 1993 is when I saw it, which means they must have done it before. Back in 1993, we were members of the Detroit Science Center of Blessed Memory.
Yes.
Indeed, yes. And we as members once got called to do some like market testing on some IMAX movies. They called us in and said, would you like to do, we have these like unedited IMAX movies, and we're going to make them into IMAX movies, and we want your opinion, should we go further with it, or should we trash the whole project altogether?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one of them was about these crazy Norwegians that jump off of cliffs with parachutes.
Good idea.
Yeah. I mean, the scenery was pretty spectacular, but, you know.
Until it hit the bottom.
They had parachutes.
Oh, you know? Okay, yeah.
This was like the thrill. It's like, yeah. Man, why don't you just get a roller coaster?
Yeah, I mean,
do that one.
Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
other one,
yeah.
The NASA had this idea that they wanted to collect information about Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to collect information about Mercury, you got a problem. Mm-hmm. Because every time you look at Mercury, you're looking directly at the sun. Because Mercury is always between us and the sun.
Correct, yes.
So they put out a whole string of satellites mm-hmm. facing Mercury with infrared cameras.
Right.
Okay. Now I'm not exactly sure. I don't remember what it was because the Betamax movie was called The Sun. So it didn't really at that point. Who cares about Mercury?
Right. Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And what they got were tremendous infrared pictures of the sun,
mm-hmm.
and the sun. Without the sun shining from it,
yes.
all the sun, it looks like a large pulsating brain.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. Okay? And every once in a while, they would show like the surface of the sun. They'd get like a close-up of one of these cameras.
Right, right, right.
And you'd see this like bubbling going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly there'd be, one of the flares.
A flare would burst through. Right.
And when I saw that, I literally jumped up out of my chair.
Wow.
I was so excited. Chapter 3 of Sharyukhan Vamuna. Yeah, they proved it. Yeah. My kids, sit down. I was like, yeah. So I was so excited. And I think they did actually come up with a beta move. Evan, if you ever get a chance to see this, and so I'm saying this on record, if you ever get a chance to see the IMAX movie, The Sun, go for it.
Go for it.
Yeah. I mean, I could live without like dolphins and dinosaurs and those dudes. But
yeah. You could probably pick it up off the net these days, maybe.
Probably. You can get everything on it's probably on YouTube.
Yeah.
Everything's on YouTube.
Yeah, really.
Even I'm on YouTube.
I'm not on YouTube, thank God. Give me 10 seconds.
Okay, so for sure the sun ray exists at the sun. But the only thing you see at the sun is the sun. Because the sun ray compared to the sun doesn't exist. The only thing that exists there is the sun. Which is the source from whence this ray is coming.
Yes.
Shehaziva ha'or hazeh einu rak ha'ora me'ira me'guf me'guf etzim kader ha'shemesh. The thing that's coming down here is just some sort of like a little bit of a revelation of sun that comes down here. Rak v'chol ha'olam tachas kol ha'shemayim v'al ha'aretz she'ein kan guf kader ha'shemesh v'metzius nira kan ha'or v'haziva zeh liyesh mamash. Now that we're 93 million miles away from the sun, so when we look, you could even measure the intensity of a sun ray. They have spectrometers. You can measure how intense is a sun ray. Okay, and the sun ray appears to us to be a something.
Right.
Okay. The Nifl of Khan, here, you call it Shem Yesh Be'emes. Here, you call it a sun ray. This is like, you know, when your mother's yelling at you in the summertime, don't stay out too long in the sun. Okay,
yeah.
Now, here you have the picture. If you were to take that literally.
Right.
Okay, you're in a rocket ship, Akiva, don't stay out too long in the sun.
Oh, yes.
You're in this rocket ship heading into the sun.
Right, yes.
That would mean in the sun.
Right.
But we said, no, what does she mean? She means stay out in the sunrise. She says, don't stay out too long in the sunrise.
Sun rays, correct.
But what is it? She's saying it correctly.
Yes.
Because this presence of the sun here, sun ray, is that manifestation of sun here.
For all intents and purposes,
okay?
Is the sun here.
So it's like the sun is here.
Yes.
Yeah. Masha ain kain kishuhum karvagufa shemesh ain nafal of shame yesh klal. Which is not the case if, or in the body of the sun,
right.
The name, you cannot ascribe this sun ray, even though it's there, you cannot give it the name yesh, a something. Raksham ayin ve'efes, there it is absolutely nothing. Ki ve'emes, because in truth, Husham la'ayin ve'efes mamish, because there truly it is nothing. She'ein mar sham rak makor levada. The only thing that exists at the sun ray is at the sun is the sun. The rays don't exist. Shuguf gashem hashem mar ve'efes baladi. Okay, that's the example.
Yes.
Okay. Mm. Now he's going to give the exemplified.
Mm.
Okay. What's the example? That you have the sun. That's the illuminator.
Yeah.
You have the ray, which is the presence of that illuminator all the way down here, far from its source.
Yeah.
Yes. He says, and this is the way it is absolutely. Okay? And absolute isn't so absolute because by the bottom of the paragraph, he throws the whole example out.
Right, okay.
B'tzalma mehem kol hanivrem legavi shefa alaki umaruach pi v'shefa aleha mahava isam. So too it is with the relationship, just like the ray with the sun, so too it is with the chayas, the vitality which is creating us, and its source which is the essence of Hashem. V'humakaram v'hem asim einim rakim mayor v'ziv hamispashit min hashefa v'ruach havaya v'shefa umislavish v'teichem umaisim ayin liyesh. That our existence is only because there has been this effulgence, a radiance of godliness, right, which goes through all the processing, like the atmosphere, the sun ray,
yes,
so that we can exist as a separate entity, and therefore it's because this godly revelation is separate from the essence. Lachin heim b'teilin v'metzias l'gavi makarim. That's why we need to have the sun ray present here at all time to keep us warm, even though it's nighttime right now.
Right.
Okay. If the sun was totally gone, it would get really cold really quick.
Instantaneously.
Yeah. So the sun, we're still feeling the effect of the sun.
Surely we are.
Okay. So it would be, if it wasn't here, we'd be totally nullified at all. And we would not exist. And because nothing exists in the source, just like the only thing that exists in the sun is sun, so the only thing that would exist if it was that Hashem was not creating us, was not effulging this little bit of godliness, the only thing that would exist would be Hashem. Rak tachas Hashemayim, but down here, below the atmosphere, she'en sham ukar klal, that the sun is not there, that's how we exist. So too it is now with our physical creatures, meaning us. This is his question. How do we appear to exist? So this is the reason why we exist, is because we're separated from our source. Not separated. We don't see our source at all.
Right.
That's why we look to be an absolute three-dimensional something. Okay? Is because the amount of godliness which is enlivening us is very tiny.
It's almost that's an interesting thought. You mentioned a minute ago, and I've thought on it this way, but the fact is, our world is still, the world on the dark side at night is still receiving energy from the sun that warms it.
Right.
Even though it's not visibly present.
Correct.
The fact is that may be even a more accurate, somewhat more accurate description
of how we're existing.
Because
we don't see it. We know it's there.
We know it's there. We, on the other side, where we're, when it's daylight, we can actually view the sun.
Right.
Which is not, that's not possible for us. When it comes to godliness, but we do know exist because of the fact that we're warm. But that may be a more accurate description.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shehem yeshanivrim kamayshanira. I lost the train of thought. Lachay nira leinene gashmius hanivroim chachomrim mamasham. Therefore, the physical creatures consider themselves shehem yesh gamar kamayshanira or hashemesh, as we consider ourselves to be a something, just like we say that there is the light of the sun is an expression as a yesh gamar, ukishe'enim amakarta, when it's not in its root source. Okay, so here we have a paradigm. What's the example? Because I was going to throw the whole thing up.
Yeah.
The paradigm is that just like the relationship that the sun ray has with the sun is the relationship that we have with Hashem. The sun ray exists as a sun when it's outside of the sun, and it's not in the sun.
Right.
So therefore, it has. So therefore, we exist as a something because we're separated from Hashem. Okay.
Yeah,
so he says.
That doesn't
work. He says this is where the whole thing breaks down. Lagamri, totally. Right at the top of the page, he said, you could probably write a pilpul on it.
Yeah.
He says, at the top of the page, it's absolutely 100%, this is the way it is.
Exactly.
And then down here he says, it's not doima legamre. Not at all.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm sure that there are, I didn't get a chance to look up every commentary on Tanya and every pilpul that's ever been written, but I'm sure people have written about those two statements.
Yeah.
Ain't a makar mitzias klal b'chol olam. why is it that there's a sun ray? Is because we're 93 million miles away from the sun.
Right.
Okay? Because if the sun would be here, we wouldn't exist.
Correct.
And it's only because the sun ray is outside of the sun that it exists.
Correct.
When you're talking about creation, we can't be outside of Hashem. We can't.
Exactly.
We just said in chapter 2.
Exactly.
You can't be separated from Hashem. So the paradigm of our existence is not like the sun ray, which is 93 million miles away from the sun.
We can't be
our paradigm is that we are in the sun.
We are in the sun, right.
That's the way it really is, truly.
Absolutely.
Rak she'ein near lane bus. The only thing is we don't see it.
Right.
Now, does the sun ray see itself in the sun? Nah, it doesn't. No, who cares about what it is? Sees. That's the way it is.
Right.
Olama ain't batalim b'mesius l'makarim. So if that be the case, how do we exist? Why aren't we that we just fall out of existence? That's the question.
Right.
Okay? We should be, if we are in our source.
How do we exist?
How do we exist as a separate entity?
Yeah.
He says, "Achla haven zeh tzarek lahakim." He says, "But to do that, we have to preface," and he stops here. He'll come back next week.
Yeah, perfect.
Now, there's a rule that when you're talking philosophy, you can't end on a question.
Uh-huh.
What's the problem? We're suspect that when you're learning like Chakira, for example, it talks about can Hashem do this and can Hashem do that. Not to end the question. In fact, it says that when if a person's learning the guy to perplexed, for example.
Right, okay.
It says, learn the answer first.
Uh-huh.
Because the questions are very easy to understand.
Yeah.
And the answers are not so easy to understand. So the question you'll understand. But the answer you're not going to get. So what are you going to be left with? You're going to be left with a question about God.
Right.
And for that moment, for all intents and purposes, you're an apikaris. Okay, so they say learn the question first. Now here, what's the question though? The question is not about God.
The question
is about us.
Correct.
So what's going to happen? You're going to come up with a conclusion. What could be the worst thing? You're not going to understand this whole thing about how it is that we do exist. So you're going to have to come up with a conclusion.
That we don't exist.
We must not exist.
Right.
So what would be so terrible?
So if we don't exist, we don't have any responsibility.
Not so terrible. No, we still have responsibilities. Okay. To be continued.
Of course we do.